أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Islam in Focus. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Today we continue with our series dealing with the sources of Islam. We'll be continuing with our topic of authorship of the Quran. Today we'll be looking at a very interesting aspect. We'll be examining the question of whether or not epilepsy was a factor in the revelation of the Quran. I have joining me on the program as usual Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I wonder if before we get into today's topic, if I could ask you to very quickly summarize the main points that we touched on in our last program dealing with the authorship of the Quran.
Okay. Last time we continued to examine whether there was any possibility that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, might have claimed that the source of the Quran is divine revelation for a personal benefit, and we have seen again that this kind of assumption is totally unsubstantiated, either on historical ground or logical. There is no basis really for that, because he could have obtained all what he wanted and accepted some of the offers without any effort or sacrifice on his part. Mm-hmm. We discussed also the other possibility that maybe he might have attributed the Quran to God or to Allah in order to use that as an authoritative thing to reform his people. And again, we have seen the kind of flaws in this argument and how the Quran itself condemned very strongly falsification or claims which are not true about what God has revealed, even for a good purpose. And then finally, we said that if we look into his life and his character, we will notice that he was known as Al-Amin, the person who is absolutely honest. He never lied before or after he became a prophet. And in many instances, even his own enemies admitted that as far as truthfulness, he was never, was known to be a person who would change facts or fabricate claims like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's safe to say that in the previous programs in the series to date, you've been able to provide ample evidence to refute the claim that Prophet Muhammad could not have fabricated the Quran on his own. Mm-hmm. What would you respond, though, to those people who might suggest that the revelation of the Quran can be explained as a psychic phenomenon?
I'd say that these attempts are mainly another link in the chain of arguments or attempts which center mainly around the rejection or denial that the Quran is a divine revelation, and just try to some way impute it on Prophet Muhammad in some way or the other. The main difference really between the positions that we have discussed in the last few programs and this new position or the psychic explanation is that in the previous explanations we discussed the deliberate fabrication, the issue of possible premeditated attempt to author the Quran and say, no, it came from God. And we have seen that it didn't work. It's not logical really to assume it. But this new position to say that it's psychic is basically the same in essence, because it says, all right, Muhammad is the author of the Quran or was the author of the Quran, but he did not really deliberately falsify, but he just might have psychologically thought sincerely see that the Quran is coming from Allah. But both of them really focus on the issue of authorship of the Quran and try to deny or reject its divine origin. However, nobody, including a Muslim even, should be dogmatic about it. There is nothing wrong of being open and frank and discuss any possibility, no matter how remote it might be. And you're mm-hmm. certainly welcome to, you know, raise questions which might help clarify issues and questions that might be already in the mind of some of the viewers. I don't mind it at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one issue that requires some explanation is the claim that the Quran is a result of epileptic seizures which Prophet Muhammad used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any basis for this claim, in your opinion?
Well, it appears that somebody must have made a gross misdiagnosis. But perhaps in order to see objectively whether there is such misdiagnosis or not, we can perhaps refer to what was the state of Prophet Muhammad at the time when he received the revelation from the authentic sources that we have in history, and then perhaps go back to what the authorities say about what epilepsy is and what are the types of epilepsy and the symptoms, and just to compare and find out whether there was any doubt really that he was an epileptic individual person. To start with the description of what he went through at the time of receiving revelation, we find a very authentic saying in both Bukhari and Muslim, in which the Prophet himself said that the revelation sometimes come to me as if it were ringing of a bell. As some people explained, it says just like this sound or voice might be a sort of getting his attention and getting him prepared,
mm-hmm.
and to be receptive to listen to the dictation given by Gabriel, Angel Gabriel, of the Quran to be revealed to him. And then the Prophet continues, he said that after this ring, or the form of revelation, which is the hardest on me, he says, Gabriel leaves me, or when he departs, I fully comprehend and retain in memory what he taught me or what he dictated to me. So it's not just an experience and that's it. It's imprinted in his heart, and the Quran, or the portion of the Quran revealed, is fully memorized by the Prophet. Secondly, he said that he sometimes came to me, that's Gabriel, in the form of a human being. So he talks to me, and then I, you know, comprehend and understand, and of course memorize what he told me. Of course, when he says he come to me in a form of a human, it does not necessarily mean that everybody around him was able also to see Gabriel, but it was more of an assurance to the Prophet so that the communication would be a little easier on him. That's why we find that in Bukhari, for example, it was reported that the Prophet was telling his wife Aisha, and he said, here is Angel Gabriel sending you greetings of peace. And she commented, he said, you see things that we, you know, we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
In the same tradition that I mentioned earlier, both in Bukhari and Muslim, his wife Aisha describes his state when he received revelation. He said, when revelation came to him, even in the very cold day, after the revelation is finished, we find that his brows are steamed with sweat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some kind of form of deep and intense concentration that result in that sweating. In Muslim also, there is another description, and I'm trying to give all the information that I could find on that so that you can have some objective basis of analysis or diagnosis. That when revelation came to him, he became sometimes a bit perturbed, and his face changed a bit. And in one narration or one version, it says that he sometimes nodded his head like that, and when revelation was over, he just raised his head up. In addition to this, we find a couple of references in the Quran also that describes the state of the Prophet at the time of revelation. It was narrated, before I just get to the verse, I'll just give the background. It was narrated that whenever the Prophet received the revelation, he was so eager and so careful not to miss any word, realizing that this is the word of Allah,
yes,
the word of God, that he used to repeat the words quickly after Gabriel so that he won't forget anything. And this verse in the Quran, or this passage, came to assure him that he should not worry about missing or forgetting the Quran. And that appears in Surah 75, Ayah 16, which it says, O Muhammad, do not move your tongue very quickly or hasten with the Quran. because we are going to take, that's God says, we are going to take care of its preservation. So you won't lose anything from the Quran. We're looking after that. A similar reference was made in Surah 20, Ayah 114, where it says to the Prophet, similarly again, be not in haste with the Quran before its revelation is completed to you, and say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. There was also some historical narrations, as narrated for example in Zad al-Ma'ad by Ibn al-Qayyim, that when the Prophet received the revelation, if he was riding for example on a camel, his body became heavier to the point that the camel would have to sit down. If his body for example, or leg for example, was touching or leaning on someone, it becomes so heavy that a person really feels that his body all of a sudden became very heavy, but without falling. Just that's all a phenomena that people around him, or you know, animals he rides, felt that there's some kind of change. This is basically what has been mentioned, the maximum information I could find, you know, in describing his state at the time of revelation. So it appears, that's only my assumption, that some people might have looked into this description and came up with a hasty conclusion that, well, if revelation is something unexplainable in mathematical terms, and if this was his state of affairs at the time of revelation, then it must have been epilepsy. And this is a statement which is both biased and scientifically unsound.
Well, now, why, in your opinion, do you feel that this is a biased position for any individual to take?
Well, it's biased because revelation to prophets is not something that started only with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's why we find, for example, in Encyclopedia Britannica, in the last edition, in page 454, and it says, and I quote, "It is the inherent nature of God from all eternity that he speaks to men." So it is not really something that's totally new. And because revelation is an extraordinary thing, you cannot really put it, like I said, in a test tube or explain it in purely mathematical terms. However, there is one thing that is widely accepted, I would say, by at least Jews, Christians, and Muslims, and I say at least because there may be followers of other religions as well who believe also in some form of revelation. But at least in the case of these three religions, they believe that many prophets prior to Prophet Muhammad received revelation. Moses seeing the burning bush in Sinai and receiving revelation from God, Jesus received revelation from God, and David, and many other prophets in the past. However, it is very strange that many of the writers, some of whom are Jews and Christians, never mention, at least to my knowledge, never seen that, never say that Abraham, Moses, Jesus, or Paul were epileptics. But when it comes to Prophet Muhammad, there is an automatic conclusion without scientific verification, without even thinking, that, well, you know, since we don't recognize him, this must be epilepsy. Why not in the same line with the type of revelation which is not, again, mathematically explainable like other prophets in the past? That's why I'm saying it's biased. Either a person would be an atheist and reject all forms of revelation, in which case he would not accept some forms of revelation, but when it comes to Prophet Muhammad, it becomes epilepsy. So there's inconsistency, and in my humble opinion, it's an obvious bias, really.
You also mentioned that in your suggestion that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, might be suffering from epilepsy is also incorrect scientifically. How can that be substantiated?
Well, I would not use my own opinions on that. We have to refer to authorities in psychology and psychiatry. And for the benefit of those who wish to explore that in a very simple way, non-specialist way, even in very simple language, I would like to refer to them to the last edition of Encyclopedia Britannica. I happen to have some a Xerox copy of. It's about 2.5 pages, really, under the title Epilepsy. I'm using that as a basis because it's written by authorities in the field, and it's, I believe, reasonably up to date, at least in essential points. We have to find out, first of all, what is epilepsy, how it's defined. We have to look also into what types of epilepsy are there, and then we try to compare that and see whether this has anything to do with the description that we have given earlier of the Prophet's state at the time of Revelation. Now, on page 644 of the Britannica, it says that epilepsy is a sudden and recurrent disturbance in the mental function or the movement of the body or both. Okay. What are the general symptoms of epilepsy? That's again described as a partial or complete loss of consciousness accompanied by muscular spasms or convulsions or by more complex behavior. It was found that about 70% of the patients suffering from epilepsy experienced their first attack before the age of 20. See? And then it says that usually, and then we'll see that again later, it tends to disappear as the person moves into his adult life. At least some types tend to disappear. What types of epilepsy? Usually it's divided into four basic categories. One is called the big sickness. The other is called the little sickness. The third is called the local focal seizures, and the fourth is psychomotor seizures. It's interesting that when you analyze each of these and examine the kind of symptoms that the authorities speak about, compare it with the Revelation, you will find that they simply don't match. None of the four types matches with what the Prophet experienced.
Well, it might be useful if we could devote some time to an examination of the symptoms of these various types of epilepsy. Perhaps we could begin with the first type. What did you discover to be the major symptoms of the first type?
Okay, well, authorities actually discovered, and I'm just taking claim to discover myself, but at least I discovered what authorities have already said. The big sickness, which is, by the way, known to psychiatrists as grand mal, which is like a French equivalent of big sickness. In the big sickness means that there is a state of generalized convulsion characterized by complete loss of consciousness and falling to the ground. Now, this falling to the ground is sometimes preceded by a loud scream, and after the body falls to the ground, it stiffens, and sometimes for a few seconds the respiration stops, followed by jerking movement in all four extremities, you know, the hands and legs. Sometimes also during these seizures the tongue gets bitten. And the reason is that there is a sort of involuntary contraction of the muscles of the jaw. As the person finishes or goes through this episode or seizure, he feels very disoriented, confused, sleepy. He may experience headache. But the most important part of the description of the symptoms is that the person will have no recollection of what happened to him. In other words, he wouldn't remember what exactly happened to him during the seizure, nor what happened to him also immediately after the seizure during this period of confused behavior. Now, we have already spoken about the revelation given to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And it's so obvious that these symptoms are not applicable at all. He never totally lost consciousness. He didn't fall to the ground. He didn't have this convulsion or bite his tongue or anything of this sort. So we find here that the experience of revelation is quite different from this. Furthermore, and that's an important part, the authorities say that the person forgets what went through during seizures. The Prophet remembered every single word of revelation that was dictated to him during the experience of revelation. So how could these two be equated?
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on to the second type, I believe you said the little sickness, petite mal, I suppose, would be...
Exactly, yeah, you're right, absolutely. Yeah, this is the term used, again, scientifically, yeah. Petite mal, or petit mal. Yeah. Anyway, takes place or occurs among children, and usually it does not appear for the first time after the age of 20, and it tends to disappear even in the early adult life of the individual. Now, what are the basic symptoms? Well, the petit mal is characterized mainly by a very brief episode of unresponsiveness. Sometimes, they say usually even, it takes less than 15 seconds without interruption of consciousness, and that's why they say it could happen even so many times in the same day. There is no involuntary movement as we find in the grand mal. So again, if you compare that with the revelation to the Prophet, you find that there is no relevance here at all. As we said earlier, the Prophet started to receive revelation at the age of 40. The revelation of the Quran did not just take 15 seconds. Many times it used to take several minutes in the stretch. And thirdly, it was not something that could go totally unnoticed, like what happened in the petit mal among children. Mm-hmm. Because there was a state observed of intense concentration. So there you go again. This type, it has no relevance to the revelation to the Prophet.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I guess that leaves us with two more types of epilepsy. Mm-hmm. Could I have you perhaps explain those two remaining types briefly and make a similar comparison with the revelation?
Sure. Well, the third type, or one of these remaining two, is called the focal seizures, which are defined as seizures which originate in a specific area of the brain. And usually it relates to the functional properties of that area. This kind of epilepsy may appear in the form of sustained or jerking movements of some of the extremity, part of the extremity or the face. And this is called, this particular subtype, they call the focal motor attacks. Or it may appear in what they call also focal sensory attack, usually characterized by numbness or tingling in the local parts of the body. But in both subcases, that's in all types of focal seizures, we find that the seizure discharges often spreads widely throughout the brain, so it involves the whole brain. And as such, it results in a generalized state of convulsion. The last and fourth type of seizures, they call the psychomotor seizures. This type is really interesting. It starts with some sort of sensory, psychical, or emotional aura. The aura here means some kind of unpleasant odor, unpleasant taste, illusion about size or distance or object around you. It might involve also visual hallucination. Usually there is a sort of intense fear that is associated with this type. And it says after this initial period or this aura, the patient become unresponsive, and he might start walking out or do some weird or strange type of behavior, like mm-hmm. picking at his clothes or something of that sort.
Yes.
This seizure continues for usually 1 to 3 minutes. But again, the most important description, which relates to our discussion of revelation, is that it says that after recovery or on the recovery, the patient would have totally forgotten what happened to him. So there is no memory at all of the attack, especially perhaps for the initial aura preceding the attack, but during the attack itself or seizure, there is no recollection of what happened. And again, I think it's obvious, like the first two types of epilepsy, that by looking into these symptoms, it becomes obvious that they are not related at all to the description that has been mentioned about the state of the Prophet at the time of revelation. He never forgot a word from the Quran. It was not unconsciousness at all, because he used to recite, and people around him hearing him repeating the words of the Quran after Angel Gabriel as dictated to him. So again, all four types are totally irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we spend quite a bit of time discussing in some detail the symptoms of the various forms of epilepsy. We haven't touched on the causes of epilepsy itself. Could you perhaps give some explanation of what the authorities have to say as to the causes of epilepsy? Mm-hmm. And could you tell us whether or not Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was known to have any of the causes?
Those causes, so that we might start doubting even whether he might have?
Yes.
Right. Well, the first point to mention here is that it is very difficult in the case of epilepsy to speak about a cause or one particular cause. Because like authorities say, epilepsy is not really a specific disease, but rather a syndrome, in a sense of a complex of many symptoms. So there could be a number of varieties of reasons. But in any case, whatever the variety of epilepsy is, or whatever the cause or causes behind them, we find that authorities mention something in common among all types of epilepsy. And that is basically caused by a sort of discharge in the nerve cells, known as neurons, the nerve cells of the brain, that there's something that happens that causes these cells to be in a state of excessive excitability.
Mm-hmm.
So millions of these nerve cells release or discharge excessive electrical energy in the brain in an abnormal way. This discharge of electrical energy generally leads to a loss of consciousness and this convulsive movements that is seen in the body. At least that much is generally accepted by authorities as common in all of them. But with this reservation in mind, the authorities also say that in about 50% of the cases, it is not too hard to determine at least a primary or contributing factor to the this type of disease, or this type of syndrome, I should say. This includes things like injury at birth or later in the lifetime of the individual. It includes congenital defects such as cerebral palsy. It might involve infectious diseases which involve nerve tissue, like meningitis, for example, parasitic infections, that could be one, brain tumors and strokes are all given as, you know, primary or secondary or contributing, I should say, reasons for epilepsy. Sometimes also these seizures may be caused or happen following withdrawal from alcohol or barbiturates, but in any case they could also be precipitated by emotional stress and extreme fatigue. Now, to come to the second part of your question, whether any of these causes are known to be involved in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the answer is not at all. Nothing at all can be traceable in any of these type of diseases. In fact, he was known to be in perfect physical and mental health throughout his life. Not only this, look at this last precipitating factor, emotional stress and fatigue. We know that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has gone through many moments of extreme danger and extreme stress and fatigue, and never once he wavered or fainted or had any of those symptoms. He was always in complete fortitude and steadfastness in all of these situations. So the point that should be added here is that if the Quran, which is available now for anyone to investigate, is a product of an epileptic seizure, like one Muslim psychiatrist put it, I'd like to see more of those epileptic people.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Jamal. A very interesting program. I want to thank you all for watching and invite you back next week when we'll continue with our series dealing with the sources of Islam. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول